Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ronel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. A great time at Carbonk this weekend, seeing the band Blackberry Smoke. So I thank those out at Carbonk. Saw A.J. Hoffman over there. I think Fred was down at the Roughnecks XFL game. Blackberry Smoke's a good band. If you like Southern Rock, a little tinge of country, that's them. We're getting closer. 11 days to the start of Major League Soccer, and here in Houston, it all starts with a visit from the LA Galaxy and former Chivas Manchester United striker and Mexico's all-time leading goal scorer, Javier Chicharito Hernandez. I hope I'm on this show next Monday saying that's a sellout. We're streaming ESPN975.com. As always, the show presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We've definitely got Champions League to talk about here today, both in UEFA and CONCACAF. I will take your Dynamo phone calls today. Talk to me about the Houston Dynamo. Have they done enough for you heading into this season? What are your key concerns around the Dynamo? You might have been able to watch their game on the internet, their first preseason game. We'll have Kiki Struna on the show here tonight. In hour number two. So very excited about Kiki coming on the program, and that will be some interesting stuff. Also, Olivier Finidori, Dynamo Select Soccer Club, for 13 straight years. I asked the soccer community 13, 14 years ago, and I asked them to run 2.5-hour clinics with all proceeds to go back to the Texas Children's Hospital Pediatric Cancer. They have done it for all 13 years. So, you know, that is something to really, really focus in on here when it comes to a youth soccer club and community service. We thank Dynamo Soccer Club for that. And Olivier Finidori, Jim Walker out there. This is called the Joby Napier Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. It is hosted by Dynamo Select. It benefits Snowdrop Foundation. So Snowdrop Foundation's helping us with this. And then ultimately it goes back, all the proceeds to Texas Children's Hospital. What's even more important is the awareness created. There'll be pro players out there, ex-pros, cancer survivors. It's going to be quite the time on March 15th. I will be letting you know through social media where you can sign up. We're just getting our page ready for the sign up. It's coming quick. It's open to the entire public. $55, but it's a very uplifting day for all of us that are involved. Call in number throughout the show, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Do you like where the Dynamo are heading into this season? Last year, they were 19 out of 24 in the league, only scored 49 goals, 59 against. You're not going to make the playoffs giving up 59 goals and being 2-15 on the road. These are areas that will be addressed this year by Tab Ramos. The Dynamo have made some signings. The most significant one, Darwin Quintero, Marco Maric in goal, Victor Cabrera, Zarek Valentin, Marcelo Palomino. So that's where the Dynamo are. And Wednesday, I'm looking forward to tomorrow night. They get another preseason game against Real Salt Lake. They're out in Tucson, Arizona. So looking forward to this. They will return on Sunday. 1-1 draw in their first game against the New York Red Bulls. And I would just warn people, because I've seen a lot of the comments and people weighing in, it's preseason. These guys are exhausted. They're going out there in these games, in a lot of cases, heavy-legged. Darwin Quintero, Albert Elise, because of him still involved in getting his green card, did not play. Darwin Quintero, I think, has a little muscular injury. That's why he didn't play. But I think still the big issue is you know, how are you going to play with Quintero? Where? Does Tab Ramos change his alignment? I mean, he's still in the phase of getting to know everybody. This is how quickly this all comes. But not acquiring a number eight and a box-to-box guy reminds us that, you know, you're going to have to think about when the ball's lost and how does Darwin Quintero play in this team? And will Tab Ramos have to maybe go away from his favorite 4-3-3? Time will tell. And that's why he's been hired, and I think he's a great hire, and I'm looking forward to him doing the work with the Dynamo, because he will be an inspirational leader and a lot of good comments coming in on the staff and Tab Ramos' leadership so far as we head into this season. So might have to rethink the 4-3-3, though. We'll see. We'll see. Time will tell, and that's what makes the game interesting. And we're here to hear what you have to say about the Houston Dynamo, 713-780-3776. Manchester United and Chelsea yesterday. I mean, it's another VAR nightmare, isn't it? Or is it? Depends on which coach you talk to. In the end, Manchester United get a 2-0 victory. The first goal is scored by Anthony Martial, who was having a first half that was an absolute nightmare. Didn't look interested, didn't look involved. But then with one little sprint, one perfectly timed angled header off a wonderful cross from Bissaka, he would put Manchester United up. They go on to a 2-0 win over Chelsea, but there was a lot of controversy in this, no question at all. Lots of controversy in this. Let's go to goal call number one, Anthony Martial putting up Manchester United.
Wan-Bissaka against Willian. Good looking cross, the header, the goal. Brilliant, Anthony Martial. And we talked about Wan-Bissaka and his lack of assists. Well, that was superb by the former Crystal Palace man. And the goal drought is over for Manchester United. They lead 1-0.
Harry Maguire would make it 2-0. And by the way, this is his first Premier League goal in a Manchester United jersey.
In this corner, the header's in! Harry Maguire scores his first Premier League goal for Manchester United. Chelsea 0, Manchester United 2.
By the way, did fifth place in the Premier League ever become so important, Andrew Carlson?
As an Arsenal fan, I know this all too well, Glenn.
Yeah, fifth place. Boy, has that become important. Here's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and you got to give him credit here because he is very honest about the United performance. He says, we'll take that result any day of the week.
Well, when you win 2-0 here, you're delighted. Absolutely. Well, I'd take that any day of the week. But then again, I didn't think we played particularly well, especially without the ball. No, with the ball, sorry. First half, we were cumbersome, slow, passing wasn't great. But we got the first goal, and then we hung in there.
Here is his thoughts on Bruno Fernandes. Now, before we go to this soundbite from Solskjaer, Bruno Fernandes was the big signing. I actually didn't think Manchester United got him on the ball enough, and partially it's probably about him, but I mean, this is one of your game changers. You're going to have to ultimately learn how to play through this guy. Here's Solskjaer on Bruno Fernandes, a new signing.
He's a top player, and he's a conductor. He wants to get on the ball. He gives us many options on the ball, but set ball delivery is top class and is one of the better ones I've seen. It was unfortunate that he didn't score with his free kick on the near post.
Yeah, he whipped one into the near post. It almost caught Chelsea, and it went off the post. But they're going to have to figure out how to play through him more and get him on the ball in good areas of the field a little bit better. So one game-changing moment here that could have occurred here was Harry Maguire gets in a tumble near the sideline right in front of the Chelsea bench. He straight leg kicks out here. Here's what Solskjaer said about Harry Maguire's incident, potential red card. But a lot of people said he should have been sent off.
For me, I didn't think 2 seconds about it at all. When I think he was fouled, rolled over, seems like Batshuayi is going to land on top of him and he puts his leg out to defend himself, or protect himself, sorry. And it hurts, definitely, when you get hit there, but I think it's all right.
So you got a little tip there to where that straight leg went when it comes to Batshuayi, who, by the way, did not live up to the moment. Excuse me, did not live up to the moment. Here's Frank Lampard on questionable VAR decisions.
Starting the decisions, because decisions, are, I suppose they are crucial, obviously. Maguire should get a red, and then he scores a second goal. Game changes off that. I think that one is what VAR was, or a major part of what VAR was brought here for. Second viewing, different angles. Referee can't see all the angles. And if you're not going to look at the monitor, then you're definitely not going to see it as well. So that one was wrong. I think the Zuma goal as well should have stood. At first I didn't. It looked like a shove from Aspilicueta. You see it again, he gets shoved in the first place. So it's certainly not clear and obvious. If the, the goal's given, then he gets a shove, then you go, okay, goal given. So, and Giroud was offside.
Yeah, Fred pushes Aspilicueta, who then pushes another player. So it was kind of like dominoes here. Here's Lampard considering that VAR is making too many wrong decisions. People are confused.
It's just a wrong decision, isn't it? Which I suppose is harder to take with the presence of VAR than it would have been before, you know. And I think that's, again, that's the reason it was brought in for. And, you know, love it or hate it, you have to say that if something happens and they see it and then they make the right decision, it's very confusing, to say the least, when all the different angles still bring a wrong decision, which is universally a wrong decision. You know, it could be my opinion here, but I think everyone I've spoken to, not just in our dressing room, but neutrals, have said the same.
So it's a big week for both the UEFA Champions League, the CONCACAF Champions League. And we'll switch gears to that, because today Atletico Madrid got a 1-0 victory over Liverpool. So Diego Simeone and company, Saúl Ñíguez, he'll get the first goal here. This is the game changer, because this allows Atletico and the man in black to play the tactics they want to play.
By Savage, and a chance, and it's in. And Saúl Ñíguez has given Atletico the early lead. Corner that Liverpool didn't begin to deal with. And it was a present for Saúl to stab home.
So there you go. That's exactly how a Diego Simeone team wants to start a game. Now they can defend deeper. They can try to get a second on the counterattack, invite Liverpool in, not concede space behind themselves. And that's what they do. They get out of there with a 1-0 win, which in the context of going back to Anfield, it may not be enough. But here's Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool manager, on the game and the effect of going down that early in that match.
Yeah, it's clear you got, that's not exactly what should happen, but it happened. So apart from that, it was the fight we expected. It was the atmosphere we expected. And but I loved so many parts of our game, really, to be honest. So first and foremost, it's halftime. We are 1-0 down, and we don't only play a second half. We played in our stadium, which is obviously completely different to this stadium here. And build-up was exceptional, counter-press was exceptional. What we lacked, of course, in the final third, I would say, to be clear enough. They defended with all they had. Their defending in the box was incredible, to be honest. So we had moments, we came through, and then we didn't hit the balls clear. But that's how it is in a game like this. When you are 1-0 down against a team like this, they only want to have this result, this kind of result. 0-0 would have been okay for them. And that's then difficult. And so we take it like it is, all good. Second leg. I'm looking forward to it.
Sehr gut. Well, they're looking forward to it at an Anfield as well. Here's Klopp on that their fan base is going to be ready.
Your counterpart, Diego Simeone, is stirring up the crowd tonight. It's a big atmosphere. Are you going to...
5 minutes. I have to say, wow. Wow. But that's energy.
Yeah. Are you going to do that at Anfield?
I don't think I have to do it that much, to be honest. I hope I can be focused a little bit more on the game. That would be nice. Yeah, our people will be ready. I know that. And, yeah. Welcome to Anfield. It's not over yet.
You know, you got to love that, though. There's something in Jurgen Klopp that says, you know what, I love Simeone, too. Because these two guys are magnetic guys. They play off the vibrancy of the fan base. They're almost like they're one of the fans. Yeah, I love that question. How are you going to do that at Anfield? Yeah, I think that's going to happen organically, quite frankly. Especially when you're down 1-0 and you're going to need a result there. Interesting match. Chorizo. Well, they get the 1-0 victory over Liverpool. You know, there's a very interesting article, and we're going to post this over on Facebook Soccer Matters, about Atletico Madrid and Chorizo, which, if I'm correct in saying that, it's Chorizo, right? Chorizo, yeah. It's this whole attitude about Atletico Madrid and their workers, and they're there to spoil it for Real Madrid. We're the underdogs and all that. And well, now they've moved to a brand new stadium. They have all kinds of incredible investment. They're crossing over to the dark side of Real Madrid and Barcelona when it comes to filthy riches. They got the highest paid coach in Europe. They spent $100 million on a player, which Real Madrid and Barcelona didn't do in recent times. They have a $200 million outlay on new players. And they got owners from all corners of the world now. So you're not going to be able to rely on that anymore. Totally. But you got to love the passion of guys like Diego Simeone and Jurgen Klopp. We'll come back. We'll talk about Dortmund, a 17-year-old American playing a part in their 2-1 win over PSG. This is a fantastic song by Rod Stewart. Most people don't know about this one. This is called Gimme Wings, but it's got big intro. Give me a little bit of V on that. We're going to take a break right now. Show's presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. No matter what type of accident you get into, car, boat, motorcycle, John and his firm's going to have you covered. John and his firm, big soccer fans. It was over at Stamford Bridge. We thank John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, for being our presenting sponsor of these 2 hours here in Houston, but also for our show in Austin, Texas, which is 8 o'clock on Thursdays. Also, big thank you to our guys down at Advantage BMW Midtown. If you're going to get into the ultimate driving machine, that is the dealership to go to. Advantage BMW Midtown. Go down there, look up Justin. He'll take care of you. Break time. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
I'm Greg Berhalter. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Yes, I did pick this song, The Box by Roddy Ricch. And I do the music on this show. I let Andrew have a couple of, sometimes he gets a couple of, you know, songs he can put in there on his own. And then you, the listeners, have given me good suggestions. The Box by Roddy Ricch. Now, what do you have to say about that? Because I saw you smiling when you put this music on. Did you not think I could come up with this?
I was frankly shocked when you sent over the music list this morning, Glenn, and this was on there. I was like, did Glenn know what he was putting on there? But apparently he did.
Of course I did. It's the number one song in the world.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a massively popular song. It's a little bop.
Billboard has this as the number one song in the world. What did you describe this as?
A bop.
A bop, huh? What does that mean?
A banger.
Banger. I got you. All right. We got some other good stuff coming up when it comes to music. So there you go, Roddy Ricch, and he has two C's in his name. I'm sure he was born with the name like that. Didn't change it, right?
I'm sure that's on his birth certificate, Glenn.
Roddy Ricch. Roddy Ricch. All right, well, maybe it is. Who knows? You know, what do I know? But we played some Roddy Ricch. It's good stuff. All right, a couple of quick notes here before we get into more European Champions League talk. FC Cincinnati coach Jans resigns per the club. Yoan Demet will take on his second stint as the interim coach. He's only 29 years of age. They're going to do an international search for a coach. Could it have gone any wronger in Cincinnati getting into Major League Soccer? They were 24 out of 24 teams in the league last year. They were 6-22-6. They were dead last. Now, the only thing you can say about this, and we do have to be honest sometimes, because people make decisions. People hire people for your soccer club. their decision-making and leadership had to be a nightmare. Did they hire the right people? That's what you got to ask. And then the other thing is, remember how early they got Fernando Adi? In fact, Fernando Adi scored against the Dynamo in Portland, and then it was like the season wasn't over, and he was already being, it was kind of like his swan song in Portland. And that guy, I mean, he just went off the rails there. He was a disaster. So a rough start for FC Cincinnati. I hope they turn that around because they got a good fan base out there. Dynamo, again, we mentioned in Tucson. They'll be in action tomorrow night. Manchester City, banned 2 years from the Champions League. That's an interesting one. Does this heighten their desire now to win the Champions League, knowing that they potentially might not be involved for 2 years? Or is it just such a mess it continues the downward spiral? And by the way, if you're 30 years old or 31 or you're in the prime of your soccer career, you want Champions League football. So there could be a fire sale there. There could be people wanting to take off, including Pep Guardiola. And there's word out there that next to be kind of hit will be Bayern Munich and other big name, big time clubs. So we'll see. You know, that's a shame. Kick Cancer Soccer Camp. It's the Joby Napier Kick Cancer Soccer Camp, March 15th. It's hosted by Dynamo Soccer Club, former Houston Hotshot, the professional indoor team here in Houston in the 90s. Olivier Finidori and company for 13 years have run that program. He'll be on the show a little bit later on. Kiki Struna. Kiki's going to talk about where the bar should be set this year for the Houston Dynamo. And I got news for you. He's looking beyond the general comment from clubs of, let's make the playoffs. So that's a little look into that one. Also, he talks about Marko Maric and about a number of other really interesting things, including his leadership role on the team and manager Tab Ramos. So that's an interview you're not going to want to miss. That's going to be a good one. You're going to like that one. And we always appreciate when Kiki Struna gets on the show. A shout out to Edgar Valise for helping secure him from Tucson. But I like Kiki. I hope he's going to even blossom more into a no-nonsense leader for the Houston Dynamo because, if you look at road records and things like that, you got to go right to leadership as well. There's other areas you can go to. But you got to believe you can win on the road. And that's going to be something the Dynamo got to turn around. The road has been a problem. They're going to need to score more goals. It's simple as that. They only scored 49 last year. I do believe part of that was because of the absence of Kyoto for all the reasons that we know and not complimenting Albert Elise. That said, Mauro Minota's still picked off 15, which you got to give him a lot of credit for that. So we'll see what happens with the Houston Dynamo. We'll take your call, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Chelsea fans, you feel hard done about the VAR? Is VAR spoiling the Premier League for you when you watch it? All these stoppages. What do you think? The push from Fred on Azpilicueta. Zuma scores. It's called back. Giroud's diving header, which looks timed perfectly. United defenders aren't reacting. They're not claiming offsides. They're not shouting at a linesman. They're not raising their arms. Tremendous cross from out wide to Giroud, who goes low. Who, by the way, there's a guy that needed a goal. I mean, who's been on the bench. And I mean, you got to give that guy credit for coming in that game and, well, what he thought was scored. And then Martial, who looks like he has no business being out there, can't control the balls, getting knocked around. He's grabbing his leg constantly. I'm thinking he's going to be subbed off at halftime. Then out of nowhere, you know, he gets a run at a beautifully whipped in cross, which all the power was in Bissaka's delivery. And then he angles the header in beautifully. And he's got 9. Yeah, for all you United guys who complain, he's got 9 goals. Yeah, I know who we're missing. But, or who you're missing. All right, so let's go to Dortmund 2-1 over PSG. Guess who continues to score goals? Erling Haaland. Dortmund gets on the board first.
Sancho. Hakimi. And bundled in eventually by Haaland. Dortmund make the breakthrough.
Neymar, our favorite Justin Bieber fan, would get the tying goal.
Mbappe. Mbappe going through the gears and creating an opening. Neymar equalizes. Brilliant work by Kylian Mbappe to set up that goal for Neymar. They look on in disbelief. 1-1.
Superstar connection. Mbappe to Neymar. 1-1, but Dortmund would get the 2-1 win. And guess who gets the goal again? It's Haaland again, who, by the way, this guy has some ridiculous goal-scoring numbers now in his last 30 games. It's off the charts. What a signing this was. Manchester United wanted to try and get this guy. Obviously did not get it done. They did get Bruno, but this kid is scoring goals like crazy.
Haaland! Oh, that's magnificent! Sensational! PSG still celebrating their equalizing goal. And suddenly, they're behind again. And yet again, it's Erling Haaland.
713-780-3776. What's on your Champions League mind? Are you ready for the Houston Dynamo season? We're 11-12 days away from the visit of Chicharito and the LA Galaxy. 24th minute right now in the CONCACAF Champions League. Portmore United of Jamaica hosting Cruz Azul. Now, there was a theory floated out there by one of our people that go to our Facebook page, Soccer Matters, Facebook Soccer Matters. Hope you go over there, put a little like to it. Any of that stuff you can do, we love. But we love when you put entries in there and talk about things. The Dynamo have an off. It's an international weekend, I believe, the end of March. Cruz Azul's coming to Houston, which I always love when Mexican teams come here and the connection. And I always am a bit dumbfounded that there aren't more Dynamo fans going to those games when they take on Tigres. And I don't get that. Why wouldn't you not want to see your team against foreign competition? You know, U.S., Mexico, you know, Liga MX against MLS. Why? What prohibits you from going? And why is that stadium always filled with fans of the Mexican League team? But the theory floated is, this is pretty creative, I guess, Cruz Azul's coming because in the summer, when Mauro Minotas is going to be transferred to the Cementeros. That was one of the theories that was floated out there. Later on tonight in the CONCACAF Champions League, Motagua will take on Atlanta United. León will take on LAFC. So there's a couple of good games. You know, the challenge for MLS teams is to go down to these environments and make sure you're in it when you get back home for your second leg. And there's always a potential based on where they are in preseason to get blown out. We've seen it happen. I think it happens less and less now. But, boy, you don't want to get stuck for two or three goals down there and come home and have to try to play catch-up against teams that are fitter and in a better place than you when it comes to, you know, preparation and 90 minutes fit. I don't think there's any question. Just wanted to mention one quick thing about Atletico. They were beasts defensively today. They worked their tail off. Now, if you go statistically to this game, you will see what are obvious stats leaning towards Liverpool, 73% to 27%. Well, when Atletico Madrid gets the first goal of a game, they essentially don't want the ball. They don't want the ball. The end of the day, Liverpool didn't have a shot on goal. 8 shots, no shots on goal. Who does that to Liverpool? 7 shots, 2 on goal for Atletico Madrid. One of them goes in. The goal scorer, Saúl. They've had trouble scoring goals, no question. But they fought like animals in this. Felipe, Savage, Lodi, Lemar. I mean, these guys fought. And that's their mantra. Now, in the future, if they start buying more technical players and more game changers, will that change for Atletico Madrid? It's kind of an interesting thing to contemplate. Because sometimes the technical player is not necessarily the guy who buys in defensively. And that's It's not a crack on Darwin Quintero, but that is a challenge for the Houston Dynamo. Because I don't think you're all of a sudden going to turn him into, at 32 years of age, Darwin Quintero, a guy that you want doing all this running and all this defensive work. In fact, you want him to save his energy for the big moments, and you want to get him on the ball in the vital areas of the field where he can do the damage that he can do. Now, he can run with the ball. He can run at people. He can beat people off the dribble. But I think to a lot of Dynamo fans, and you tell me, Dynamo fan, he's still a bit of a question mark. 713-780-3776. You can always go back to his great times, no question about it, in the Mexican League. But it is an intriguing thought. Where is he going to play? Does Tab Ramos have to change an alignment here? And he's got the brains to do that. We know that. But what's going to happen? It's going to be a little bit different to figure out. You might get a little bit more of a clue tomorrow, but I'm not anticipating Quintero's going to play tomorrow. I don't know. We don't have enough coming out of the camp, but I don't think you want to take any chances. You've heard Tab Ramos talking about the fact that, you know, look, he's telling his players to be responsible in our interview last week. You start feeling something pulling with all this workload right now in preseason. You got to be up front and you got to tell somebody because you don't want to get a setback early on. All right, 713-780-3776. All right, Andrew Carlson's a Hall of Famer. Victor Arise is a Hall of Famer. I'm not even going to rate myself because I'm not sure I'm a Hall of Famer, but I'm something. You're Hall of Famers for helping this show become as popular as it's become, and we're going over to the podcast at podcastarena.com. All right, we're going to take a break here. Tomorrow, Alianza versus Tigres, Saprissa versus Montreal, Comunicaciones versus Club America, and tomorrow in UEFA Champions League, Atalanta of Italy against Valencia of Spain, Spurs without Son, could be out for the rest of the year, according to Jose Mourinho, against RB Leipzig. I will tip you off, Tyler Adams will not be playing in that game. This soccer program, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, is brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. He's also, John and his firm, the Daspit Law Firm, they are also the presenting sponsors of our show in Austin on the Horn. We'll take a break. More to come. Coming up next, Michelle Kaufman of the Miami Herald.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, so I got 30 seconds from now to get in what I want to say here. Inter Miami, in part, is owned by David Beckham. They have reached the $234 million sponsorship deal with who? They're giving everybody money. Qatar! I mean Qatar. Sorry, it's Qatar. Uniforms and the new Miami Stadium will be emblazoned with Qatar state-owned airline. Okay, so if you want to talk about Inter Miami and what's going on down there right now, well, all you got to do is bring on Michelle Kaufman of the Miami Herald. Here she is. Well, Michelle, you know, I want to take you back to 97 before we get into the current Inter Miami situation down there in Florida. You've been covering the game a long time. Miami Fusion in 97. Best memory from covering the Fusion?
My best memory from covering the Fusion. Wow. There were a lot of memories. I mean, that's when Valderrama was playing for the Miami Fusion, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you one of my best memories. It was something crazy off the field, but my husband one time decided to dress up as a mascot and be the mascot for the game. So that was actually kind of fun. It was kind of goofy, but, you know, those were the days. MLS was not quite as professional as it is now. Like, you know, the beat writer's husband could be the mascot for the day. That's how crazy it was back then.
Yeah, you were tied into it. All right, so let's talk about the current Inter Miami and you know, where is the buzz? Is there a buzz? You know, because Miami always kind of gets treated a little bit like Houston, Texas, where people say, oh, it's not a great sports town. How do you think the launch of this team will be this year?
Oh, there's definitely a buzz. There's definitely a buzz partly because, you know, David Beckham is involved, and Miami loves celebrities. David Beckham is involved. Jorge Mas, who's the other owner, is a very, very well-known civic leader in Miami. So he's pouring his heart and soul into this and also pouring $130 million into the training facility alone with the temporary stadium over there. So they're doing everything first class, to be honest. I mean, I've seen every incarnation of professional soccer in this market, and this is by far the most professional. Everything from the logo, the signage, the staff, the building that they're doing, the training facility alone is a 50,000-square-foot facility with six full grass fields and then a seventh turf field with 1,500 seats where they're going to play high school football games there. And then the stadium, which is going to be their temporary home for the next couple of years, and then eventually it'll be the permanent home of the USL team, and they'll rent it out to foreign clubs that are coming to train here in the offseason and so on, and for friendlies. But that's an 18 to 19,000 seat stadium. It's very, you know, modern looking. The seats are pink, black, and gray. It's very colorful. It's very Miami. Even though it's not in Miami, it's in North Fort Lauderdale, just like Lockhart Stadium. It's on the same site, on the same ground as Lockhart Stadium. So, but there's definitely a buzz. I mean, I see a lot of magnets on the cars. You know, they just came out with the launch of the shirt last week, so people are starting to buy the shirt. People are getting into the idea of the pink and black, La Rosa Negra, Rosa Negra, Rosa y Negra.
Mm-hmm.
There are four supporters groups. They're all a little bit different, but they're all loud. So I think that there's going to be a good atmosphere at the games. It's going to have a very, very, very Latin field. The coach, Diego Alonso, doesn't speak English. He's learning English, but for now he's taking classes in English, but he's conducting all the practices in Spanish. And then there's an English translator who yells out the instructions. Most of the team is Hispanic. So it's a team that's going to have a real Latin flair. The supporters groups are very, very Latin, so it's going to be loud. A lot of the songs and chants are going to be in Spanish. I think it's going to really represent Miami, even though it's not in Miami. So I think there's a buzz. I really do think there's a buzz about it.
Michelle Kaufman we're talking to from the Miami Herald. Let's talk about Rodolfo Pizarro. In your mind, is he there simply because of the drawing power of David Beckham and the potential promise down the road of contacts in Europe and helping him get to Europe?
Yeah, I mean, I think he said as much. I think he said that, you know, they were criticizing him in Mexico for coming here, and he said that he felt that this was a better stepping stone to go to Europe. I mean, his ultimate dream is to play in Europe. And Paul McDonough, who's the sporting director here, is the same guy who put together the Atlanta United team. And he's doing this in the exact same way. His MO is not to get big-name stars, even though Miami still wants one big-name DP. But he, as a GM / sporting director, whatever you want to call him, his MO is he finds players that are in their prime, young, under 25, 25, 26, or 23, 22, 21-year-old players from Latin America, brings them here, you know, like they did in Atlanta. They play great. They become stars here and then resell them for a ton of money to European teams. So the team makes money. In the meantime, the players are developing here on your team and becoming stars within this league. And then you sell them off to Europe, which is where they eventually all want to go anyway. Let's be honest, most of them do. So I think definitely that was a big drawing power for him. And then the other one is that Diego Alonso was his coach. Diego Alonso coached him at Monterrey.
Yeah,
Diego Alonso coached him at Pachuca. So he knows him. He knows the system. He definitely wanted him here. He basically like handpicked him and wanted him to play here. And the other big reason that he ended up here is that Tata Martinez, the Mexican national team coach, was the coach in Atlanta. Paul McDonough hired him. They are very close. And when Paul called him to say, who's the best player that I should get from Mexico, he said, Pizarro. So, you know, all of the stars aligned pretty much for him to come here.
Yeah. A lot of comforting things there, knowing Diego Alonso was there as well. Rodolfo Pizarro is 26 years of age, designated player here in Houston. Everybody knows him from Rayados and all the matches that we see consistently here with Rayados. It's an interesting roster. You got players like Will Trapp, Roman Torres, Luis Robles coming from other teams.
And
Elvis,
those are the
Powell.
Three leaders right there. The three names that you just mentioned,
yep,
are the three guys who have emerged as the team leaders. If you were to see me, who are going to be the captains, who are the team leaders, when I've asked all the players who's emerging as the team leaders, those are the three they say. Will Trapp, Luis Robles, and Roman Torres.
Interesting. See that?
Yep.
I was 3 for 3 on that one.
You were 3 for 3. Victor Aloa is another one who's a league veteran that a lot of people respect. But the three that you mentioned are three who have really come on strong. And Will Trapp just joined the team 2 weeks ago, and immediately, like within a day, he had everybody's attention on the team. And, you know, everybody, all the Latin guys who had never heard of him before, they've all mentioned him in interviews, that they've been really, really impressed with him. And also, the other one I want to mention, that the Hispanic players from South America that really didn't know most of the MLS players,
Pellegrini.
The other guy that they've been very impressed with is Lee Wen.
Ah, Lee.
So
mm-hmm.
He's been playing very well, yeah.
How about Matias Pellegrini, the Argentine 19-year-old, who's also a DP?
Matias Pellegrini he came in with a lot of promise. He's 19 years old. You know, there were a lot of teams in Europe that were wooing him, so I think they had to pay him in the neighborhood of $9 or $10 million. He has not shown so far. Mm-hmm. He's not on the level of Pizarro, for example. I mean, not that I shouldn't say. I've watched one preseason game, so I should preface by saying I have witnessed exactly one preseason game. So it's possible that he's just killing it in the practices and in the other scrimmages that have been all closed door. There's only been one public scrimmage, which was the preseason game against Philadelphia Union the other day, which was, it was tied 1-1 at the very end in the 86th minute. Philadelphia scored, but it was a very close game. Pellegrini, had some trouble getting through the defense. He got frustrated. He was complaining to the refs. So he's still a young kid. He's 19 years old. He's living away from home for the first time. His parents stayed with him here for a few weeks, and they actually just left last week. So he's a kid finding his way, but, you know, they say that he's extremely talented. He had a lot of big European clubs that were, you know, paying attention to him. So I'm sure he has some qualities that, you know, that I just haven't seen yet because I only watched one match.
You got it. He comes from Estudiantes de La Plata, which is got a great history developing young players, also play for the under-7, under-20 Argentine national teams. All right, two quick questions for you before we go. And the first one is, how involved, how hands-on is David Beckham?
David Beckham has been very hands-on, although he has not been present in Miami as much recently as he was at the beginning. At the beginning, he was here a lot. We were interviewing him on a pretty regular basis, and he was here. He was visiting the youth academy. Of late, he has not been around much, but I talked to some people in the front office who said that, you know, he's in daily contact with them. He's involved with all of the player negotiations. He's involved with everything as far as everything from the logo to everything. They say that he's got his thumbprint on it. He is going to be here for the opener at LAFC. He's going to be there, and he's also going to be here for the home opener against LA Galaxy on March 14th. And he's coming here, I believe, next week to do some media before the season opener. So he'll be around, and he's been pretty hands-on, although, like I said, he has not really been around the media or the team since preseason started.
Talking to Michelle Kaufman of the Miami Herald. Michelle, do you know how many season ticket deposits there are or season tickets have been sold?
I don't know that. That is something they have not revealed. I know that I think that what I heard was almost all of the club seats were gone. Like the club VIP lounge seats were almost all gone. They just put single season tickets for sale yesterday, for season ticket holders, and they go on sale Thursday for the general public, for single games. And then they just started last week selling 8 game kind of like mini packages, season ticket mini packages. So, but I don't know. I know that the stadium seats about 18,500. You know, I would think I would like to hope that with the passion for soccer that there is in South Florida, that they could fill that place for every game. But they have not given any numbers.
Michelle, this is great information. Thank you for jumping on here. We appreciate you making the time for us. And
sure.
Continue all the great writing at the Miami Herald from afar. I have loved reading your columns and your reporting on the game of soccer.
All right. Thank you. We'll be in touch as they get closer to play the Houston and all that stuff. So
sounds good.
Take care.
Great stuff there from Michelle Kaufman, and it's great to get an update on Inter Miami. And, of course, Diego Alonso, the former Rayados manager in charge of that club. And, of course, Rodolfo Pizarro down there is the star player for David Beckham and Jorge Mas's Inter Miami. That does it here for the first hour. Stay with us because coming up in the second hour from the former Houston hotshot and also more notable, he's been running Cyfair Dynamo's Select Soccer Club. 13 straight years they've been involved with Kick Cancer. We're going to visit with Olivier Finidori, Kiki Struna, the Dynamo defender, on leadership this year and where is the goal set for the Houston Dynamo when it comes to going into the 2020 season. And we'll catch up with Dynamo legend Wade Barrett, who's involved in the youth game here in Houston. You're going to be interested to hear what Wade is up to. This is all presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. More to come.
Tell her what to do, Rob.
I'm Vlad Kandanovsky, the coach of U.S. Women National Team, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.